The principle of compounding is not only about money. The principle of compounding is not only about money. It is also in attaining the good life, health, wealth, love and fulfillment. But not understanding the principle, having a narrow cone of vision will rob you of a chance for a life you love and live powerfully. If that is what you want, listen up. This may be the most disturbing and the most beneficial article you have ever read. By the way, most marketers are full of shit. They have to be. Why? Because the buyers are full of shit too. And they have to sell them what they want, what they have no right to expect, so ultimately they have to lie. That is the meaning of being full of shit. Then there are a few exceptions, in my humble experience. A certain Pete Williams in Australia is an exception. He wrote a book that I bought. It talked about a method of growing anything, including yourself, that is counterintuitive, because the immediate results are puny. But if you had paid attention in math class in school, you would have learned the principle of compounding. Tiny increases compound to huge growth. Most teachers teach you to do a big push. They scream, take bold audacious action. Like build a course and make $500,000 in your first year. For example, very few people can sell a course on the tiny increases method. Mainly because the potential client cannot see it. And if they can't see it, they won't believe it. And if they don't believe it, they won't buy it. And even if they do, they misunderstand it. Like my client to whom I taught it. There is a book on habits, Atomic Habits, that one of my clients bought, but didn't understand. So when she booked a private coaching, namely the Hero program with me, she said she wanted to grow 1% a week. But she didn't understand, and likely neither do you, that unless you retain your 1% result over time, you won't grow in a year more than 1% instead of the 72% the book promises. Moreover, and this is maybe even less understood, that 1% growth a week must be put together from even smaller growths across your life. Or across your business. In my challenges I target no larger than 1% growth inside the challenge. But if it works, your behavior will eventually alter, gently and imperceptibly in other areas too. But, of course, if you don't see what you are doing, if you don't see how full of shit you are, no growth can happen. Now, interestingly, my longest client who for 11 years never grew at all, suddenly started to blossom in the challenges. How do I measure? I measured just one thing, their level of responsibility. Of course it was too little quite late, so he now has an opportunistic disease trying to eat up his liver. And that is not an accident. But yesterday we spoke, and he wants to live long enough to start removing some inauthenticity, little by little. And he intends to contribute to his own healing by sleeping with a big bundle blasting in his ears. I did exactly that myself for many months. It took me time to get used to sleeping with it, but I went from having an overall health measure of 1, to having an overall health measure of 20. Then I started to have some hope that I would live. Healing is a lot like what I am talking about. If between two healing sessions your behavior destroys all the gains, you'll never get well. Some clients do that, and continue until I scream loud enough, that they surrender. Or not. And I drop them like hot potato. For any kind of growing, growing in health, or wealth, or spiritually, you need to be willing to acknowledge and accept that you need it. Pretense will prevent you from doing that. Here is an example of compounding results. In the beginning of this past January I had no will to live. I was looking for a way to exit. My health was horrible, my mood was horrible, my business was horrible. I got a little help from my friends, Beatles anyone? And that, an approximately 1% kick in the butt increase in income started the snowball. The second thing I did, I examined my emails, my articles, and committed to increase their entertainment value, decrease their gloominess, and make my message sharper. Little by little. Day by day. Between January and today it increased 7%. Puny, I know. I increased my emphasis on health, because people, it seems, care about being well, and hate being sick. That added 10% to my attracting business area. I introduced new kinds of teaching. That added another 3%. Also I started to cook Hungarian peasant way. That added 10% again. I brought some sense into my sleep schedule. Another 1%. I changed my tea drinking schedule, 7% unexpected, but muscle test says it's so. As soon as I realized its significance, I removed many preservative-laden foods from my diet, added 30% with that. Another unexpected gain. Changed who I read. Just a little less excitement and a lot more humanity. Added 5%. Started to take lithium orotate when restive, and added manganese and copper to my daily supplements. Added 10% here. Overall 1.01 by 1.07 by 1.10 by 1.03 by 1.10 by 1.01 by 1.07 by 1.30 by 1.05 by 1.10 equals 2.18 meaning. I more than doubled my own well-being, physical, emotional, and financial by working on many different things I saw I could. In 5 months. Yesterday I heard an idea in a webinar. And I see that I can implement what I heard relatively painlessly. That will add more little increases to my growth. And this is how compounding works. Another word for this method is the low-hanging fruit method. You start harvesting them, and do it consistently. Meaning, you don't stop, you don't quit, you don't fall back. You keep on harvesting them and occasionally add another low-hanging fruit to it. Not instead, but in addition. The challenges can help here. But they don't do the work. You need to. And consistently holding on to new habits, new ways of doing things, insights, or your gains will disappear. This principle is the most difficult concept for most to see and adhere to. Why? Because it requires one to be able to connect dots that are not visibly similar, or next to each other. And yet everything is connected to nearly everything else, and unless you consider that, instead of compounding success, you'll compound failure. It is easiest to see in health. What are the dots? What can you gradually grow in the area of health where the gains compound? 1. Hydration. 2. What food/drink you put in your body. 3. Eating style. 4. Pooping. 5. Sleeping. 6. Attitude/mindset. 7. Food you made/versus food you bought ready. 8. Preservatives. 9. Energy healing. 10. Physical activity. As you see, if it takes all these elements to keep you well or get you better, then neglecting any of them, or worsening any of them makes the whole construct go down. Energy healing is just one of the 10 components. If you are already sick or ill, I can help you heal the diseased organ, but it is your job to increase every component, every element of health. Contrary to what others teach, diet doesn't actually heal. It can help the healing, it can help you be better if you are not ill. But food, no matter what the ancients said, food does not heal. Unless it is a healing food, which are not readily available to you. One of the healers, Dr. Richard Schultz, uses cayenne to knock illness on its head and urge your body to heal itself. In his incurable method, he uses several other harsh methods to dislodge the patient from their homeostasis. Because the body doesn't know, because the selfish gene is, like the ego, wants to perpetuate, not change, not heal, not grow. Perpetuate. Fasting can wake up the brain and make it start doing its job. Fasting for a long, long time. Not just celebrity fasting. Ugh. One of the unrewarding aspects of being a healer. One of the unrewarding aspects of being a healer is that the client, the patient isn't interested in changing anything, any of those 10 components, even during the healing, which can take weeks, sometimes months. So I have to work double, triple, quadruple amount of time to make the issues go away, and when the actual work is done, watch people go back to how their health was before. The missing piece is responsibility. Responsibility means, you can see that you are causing everything. And you tell the truth about it. You accept what you are causing, or if you want to cause something different, you change what you do, you change what you say, or you change your attitude. If you don't, then you'll go back to how you were. Responsibility, unfortunately, is both a DNA capacity, and a skill/practice. I have activated the capacity for some 30 people. But turning on a capacity doesn't guarantee that a person will actually use it. One of my students is actively struggling with this. Actively struggling is a good sign. It means that they see the importance to actually be able to use it. But, of course, the whole 8 billion acts like the chicken coop, other than the 1,000 don't live outside of the chicken coop. I'll write a whole article about the chicken coop or crab bucket at another time, but for now let's see what is the difficulty. I think that the main issue is the worldview of a 3-year-old. The 3-year-old says, I want the world the way I want the world to be. I want to be myself the way I want to be. And I want people to be the way I want them to be. Which results in a moment-to-moment frustration, because the world is never the way you want it to be, and people, including you, are never the way you want them to be. A life of frustration. So you resist life. That's important. But just as important is the fact that you try to fix it. You think you should fix it. And can't leave it alone. Some, in this regard, are worse than others. So unless you can learn to allow things to be without resisting them, or resisting them only for minutes, not hours, you can learn to use the responsibility capacity. But if you need to fix what you see as wrong, then you can't have responsibility working. You already decided this when you were 3 years old. But it is time for you to change your mind. Most of you have been trying to fix what you said was wrong when you were three. But truth be told, there was nothing wrong then, and there is nothing wrong now. You weren't wrong. And it wasn't wrong what happened. If you hold on to it, then you cannot use responsibility. Because you can't. Responsibility and wrong cannot go together, unless the sentence is "I said it was wrong. I said it. And it wasn't wrong. Isn't wrong." And then practice spending time with what first appears as wrong. And just sit with it, until the wrong goes away, and it is just what it is. Let's say, as an example, you have an aggressive cancer. Willing it away will make it grow faster. Trying to ignore it, deny it, will make it grow faster. So what is there to do is sit with it. Okay. I have this thing growing inside me hellbent on killing me. And sit, and look, and sit, and look. And if you have to, do it as often as the resistance shows up. Where? In your neck, in your shoulders. For some of you in your rectum. Maybe you are holding your breath too. Just practice letting go. Maybe your jaws are locked. Just relax them. Do not force. Relaxation cannot be forced. Forcing is more resistance. You don't think you resist? Unless you have full access to all you power, you do. So how do my programs help you with all this? All my challenges drive up resistance, the areas where you don't allow things, you don't allow yourself to be the way it is, the way you are. You resist it. Your job is to let go, and let things be the way they are. Let the chips fall where the chips fall. But bring awareness to it all. Because the biggest issue is, that you are unaware, and you are unconscious. Suppress what you don't want to know about. And you are killing yourself. Why do I recommend the challenges? Because that is the most intense and at the same time easiest program I have. It's intense, because you are asked to do some work every day. And it is easy, because ultimately you are working with yourself. Start discovering yourself in NBSP. In the course I am taking, they make me do things much like what I do in the challenges, and so far I got more out of those than out of all the lectures and coaching. The time I spent looking at my intention, looking at my commitment, looking at what's missing, looking at my complaints, and looking at what I am really up to, what I want to produce. Want to see how they do it? Here is a form I was asked to fill out. I'll figure out how they made the PDF have forms you can fill out. Don't know it yet. But will. And then I'll send you a form to fill out so you can do your own work on that too. One other benefit of being in a challenge is that you learn to be the boss in your life, to set a schedule and consider it binding. So you can stop being a beach ball floating on open sea. I have a student who signs up to everything and then doesn't do the daily work. I have removed her from 4 challenges so far. She needs some taking charge. Even though she could, she doesn't or hasn't.